Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un sausage burrito es solo $1.50. Así que échale salsa picante o ketchup a tu sausage burrito con todo en McDonald's. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Radio Network. Pro football, full circle.
There's unknowns. If you're on the offensive side of the ball, what's the defense going to do? If you're on the defensive side, what's the offense going to do? What are the new looks on special teams that they're going to throw at you? So there's a little bit more unknown than you would have as you get through the third and fourth game of the season. So that's the part I get excited about. Like, you get your juices going. Plus, you're getting to start the season. I mean, that's always exciting. Here we get to start it at home, which is great, against a very good football team.
We the 2021 Buccaneers now. There's no more 2020 Buccaneers, so we just can't be distracted by it. But you know, at the end of the day, we got a goal at hand, and that's to win this football game in that day, and then move on from that. But I'm for sure it's going to be Christmas when we walk in.
Oh, buckle up. Week one is on the horizon. Welcome to Pro Football Full Circle. Joe Lisi, Holden Kushner, right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius Channel 204, getting you locked and ready for week one of the NFL season. Doesn't get better than this. Starts Thursday night with Dallas on the road to face Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Bucks. Some breaking news, Dwayne Brown in camp for Seattle. The all-pro left tackle says he's ready for the season. We'll see how that benefits the Seahawks in their road week one game against Indianapolis. Ravens have a running back situation, right, Holden? J.K. Dobbins goes down. Justice Hill goes down. Le'Veon Bell and Devontae Freeman are trying out and practicing. But this Ravens team in a little bit of disarray week number one.
You think they're in disarray? Really?
I do.
Because they have no running game besides for their quarterback.
What about the wide receiver position?
And no wide receivers. I'm being facetious here, my friend. I'm with you. We disagree so much you thought I was being serious, but that's fine. Wow, they are in some trouble. Now, I think they'll get Hollywood Brown out there, won't they? But is that really enough? They had to give Andrews the extension. He's their number one wide receiver. So their number one wide receiver is the tight end. Their quarterback runs for his life, and their top two running backs are down. So are we talking about Le'Veon Bell and Devontae Freeman? Like, is that who they're going to plug in on week one? Because if that's the case, then I'm going to bet under on the Ravens team total. I mean, you can't go into the season with a rookie running back who was third or fourth on your depth chart, or a completely washed up Le'Veon Bell. Forget it. There's no way Devontae Freeman's making this team. So go look at it. I mean, the Ravens, really? Do we think that they have a shot to put up monster points against the Raiders? That's the key, though. Lisi, they get the Raiders defense. So
I know, but you know, I gotta be honest with you, twofold. When I looked at this game overall, week one, right? They opened as a five and a half point favorite. It's already down to 4.5, at least it was at the start, and it's hanging right there at 4.5, right? A little money coming in on the Las Vegas Raiders. It's a home game. But can this defense really carry the Ravens? I understand they're one of the top units in terms of the AFC, but if your offense is consistently going three and out, they're going to start to wear down. And then the other factor is this, when I just look at this team overall, how much pressure does that put on Lamar Jackson to really carry this team? We know about his ability to break contain, but if he starts doing that early and often, big picture, right, is that the recipe to really make a Super Bowl run? This has been been the Achilles heel for this offense over the past couple of years with Lamar Jackson. This was supposed to be the year that he took the next step in terms of the passing game. And without Bateman, without those wide receivers, it's going to be very difficult, even in this week one matchup, in my opinion.
Yeah, we knew coming into the season, though, he had some issues at wide receiver. We knew that Sammy Watkins would be here and he would miss time this year, right? Marquise Brown is another guy. He came out and said that his number one goal this year is to play in every game. So that shows you where they were. Devin Duvernay, Bateman's now on IR, Mark Andrews. They did not do a good job of surrounding him with offensive talent, and I'm talking about the Ravens and Lamar Jackson. But if there is a guy that could carry his offense by himself, this is that guy. Defensively, I'm a little bit higher on them than you are, obviously, but here's what I'm looking at in this line, Lisi. 27.5. That is the away team total on FanDuel for the Baltimore Ravens. The under is minus 112, and we were talking about placing bets this week. Talk this out with me, because you tell me, as bad as the Raiders defense is, how is this team from Baltimore going to put up four touchdowns or three touchdowns and three field goals?
Well, I tell you what, when I break this game down, and it's a high total, right, 51 total, both teams want to run the football, don't they? I mean, you have the highest rushing attack in the NFL in Baltimore, 191 last year, and you still have an offense with John Gruden that wants to pound the rock with Josh Jacobs and that heavy offensive line, right? So now when I look at this matchup, I say 27.5 for Baltimore. That is always a concern when you have a problem secondary. That's what the issue was of the Raiders. They don't have a pass rush. How are they going to get pressure on Lamar Jackson in passing situations? The only way they can actually do that is if they run the football. That is their best defense. Keep Lamar Jackson on the sidelines.
So you have to understand, or you have to come to the conclusion that either A, that is what's going to happen, or B, they're not going to be able to run the football. And then it's a completely different game. I'll just say this, after talking it out with you, I am not confident that the Ravens are going to score 28 points even against this Raiders defense.
We'll see how that game plays out. That is Monday night when Holden and I come back. We'll be breaking down the entire slate of week one. Joe Lisi and Holden Kushner right here on the grid. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Holden Kushner.
Back on Pro Football Full Circle, Joe Lisi, Holden Kushner, breaking down all the week one matchups this coming Thursday and Sunday. We talked about the situation in Baltimore, also Mark Andrews, third highest paid tight end, right behind George Kittle and Travis Kelce, signed to a $46 million deal. I know a lot of fantasy owners, a lot of other bettors would want Mark Andrews to hold on to the football, Holden. I mean, it does have a case of the drops in terms of critical situations, and obviously for Lamar Jackson and the crew, if they're going to make a run at a Super Bowl, they need Mark Andrews to produce. Before we break down the other games, though, there was an intriguing article, came out of ESPN, the American Gaming Association came out with a survey. 36% more people will bet on the NFL this year as opposed to last year. And you think about the amount of money that's just infused in terms of the fantasy aspect, the sports gaming aspect. It's just growing exponentially each and every year.
I remember 5 years ago when I tried to go to a fantasy football conference, but it was canceled because Tony Romo was there and the NFL didn't want anything to do with fantasy football. Things change fast when owners, you know, these owners are a little bit older and they don't understand things as quick as the rest of the country maybe. And it took them a couple of years, but now the NFL realizes it, that they are going to need to continue to grow their sport. And what's the best way to do that? Fantasy football, we've kind of tapped out on that, right? The country, everybody does it, so they need to make more money. How do we do that? We get the sports books involved. And I don't know what percentage of the country has access to legal sports gambling. I'm not sure. I will just say, being here in Colorado, completely awesome. Every other commercial is a sportsbook commercial, though. That's a little unfortunate. But yeah, of course more people are betting on this. People will continue to bet. There's so much growth, not just in the NFL, all over, but there's so much growth in the NFL that I think a massive reason why the football, that the NFL is where it is today, fantasy football, gets people who have never even thought about watching a game, all of a sudden they're interested. Now you add sports betting into this, where everybody can sports bet too, and we still have tons of states we need to get to. I mean, the owner should have realized this a couple of years ago. It took them a couple of years later to do it. I guess it's not too late, but let's face it, this is a cash cow for a lot of us. And our opportunities are growing, too. I can't tell you how many times. I mean, we've had people that I haven't talked to in 10 years. Hey, what are you doing? You want to do this? Hey, I got this project. I'm like, yeah, you know, nice to talk to you. And finally, you realize how big this is going to be. I'll just say one more thing. Thank you, Roger Goodell, for at least accepting this, because now that sports betting is getting legalized everywhere or in a lot of places, we could finally just come out of the shadows. People used to, oh, you can't talk about betting, you're a degen, all these trigger words, and it pissed me off, to be honest with you, Lisi. Thank God we're coming out of the shadows now and we're legit, and the NFL wants to be a part of that.
Yeah, it's great. I agree with you. And there's so many ways to attack a particular game, right? You look on FanDuel for that Thursday night game, player props, they have first touchdown drive score, first touchdown or first drive result. There's so many opportunities that you can attack a particular game, right? It's going to come down to, we've seen it in terms of baseball, we've seen it in terms of tennis as well, in terms of the gambling aspect. You're going to be able to bet on each and every play to pick off potential value. So that's what it provides the average fan. That's what it provides the sharps, the novices, all alike. So we're just, you know, we're just very happy that the NFL did go this route in terms of giving us opportunities and ways to make money. Let's talk about that Thursday night game. We have Tampa Bay, defending Super Bowl champs, opened up originally as a 6.5-point favorite, now up to 7.5 on FanDuel. In some books, though, we talked about a points bet has an 8. They were up to 8.5 because of the Zach Martin news. Zach Martin will not play in this ball game due to COVID protocols in this matchup. But, you know, it is a week one battle, right? And I understand Dak is a full go. They do have something to prove, Dallas, right? Even though Tampa Bay is the much better team on paper, give me the 7.5 points in a week one Thursday night matchup. I'm going to take the underdog in this ballgame, Holden.
The Cowboys, when they actually had Dak Prescott last year, you know, those first 3 weeks they would have covered. They played the Falcons, the Rams. They had the Seahawks, who were on fire at the beginning of the year. Then they got blown out by the Browns, and he got hurt. I have a hard time backing the Bucs giving up 8 points, 7.5 points. You know, you take that hook out of it, I can see a push. As uncomfortable as this may sound, people, and I know a lot of you love the Cowboys, a lot of you hate the Cowboys, and a lot of you just don't want to do anything with them, I think the Cowboys side is the right side. To win by a touchdown in the NFL is no easy job. So how do the Cowboys cover them, right? How do they cover? First of all, I don't think this Bucs defense is as great as it was during that Super Bowl run last year. It wasn't during the regular season. They had a good run defense, but they took it to the next level. So are they going to be playing elite level NFL coming into this season, coming off of that playoff run? I have a hard time believing that's going to happen. Second of all, not worried about Dak with no preseason action. Fine with that. Am concerned about them protecting him with Zach Martin, but does that mean that the line should have moved 1.5 at some places? No, I don't think it should have moved that much. The linebacker rotation is interesting. The secondary is the big question. Now, I think Antonio Brown could carve these guys up, and not just him. You've got Godwin. You got Mike Evans. The running game is all I could say. I'm looking forward to seeing how Trevon Diggs comes along. They made the big pick that, with the linebacker as well, too, right? So defensively, they're just trying to clean this thing up. Trying to. We'll see what Micah Parsons can bring. Ultimately, I think that the Cowboys offense can keep up with the Bucks offense. And right now, the lean is to the Cowboys plus 8 and the over in this game. How about you?
Well, yeah, I lean to the Cowboys, but and you bring up the rushing attack, which is pretty interesting, right? Because I think if you're the Cowboys, you still want to pound the rock with Pollard and Ezekiel Elliott, right? That really is the recipe for Dallas to be successful and to really hit on all cylinders with this offense, right? When the rushing game is going, you can work off a play action. If you can't run the football, you become one-dimensional. That's not the recipe that McCarthy wants in terms of this matchup with Tom Brady. And on the flip side, we have a Tampa Bay offense that, you know, in the playoff games, they ran the football effectively. That was what wore down Kansas City. It was the front seven of Tampa Bay stopping Patrick Mahomes, but it was the rushing attack of Ronald Jones and Leonard Fournette that averaged over 5 yards per carry in that Super Bowl, right? And then we know about the Dallas defense. They were atrocious in terms of run support last year. So I'll pose this to you. You have Ronald Jones at 45.5 in terms of rushing total, Leonard Fournette at 36.5, both players juiced to the over at -114. I got to be honest with you, even though Tampa Bay might not cover, I could see both of those players going through their total Thursday night.
No, that's a sharp look there, Lisey. I'll give you the credit on that one. That is a really sharp look. The question is, does either one of these backs get hot and have a chance to carry the load? I think that's the only way we're going to look at it and say, oh, boy, I should have looked at it. I should have tried to bet the under there instead of the over. But honestly, the Bucs kept 4 running backs last year. I think the last 2 this year will not be making any impact. This is going to be the Fournette Rojo show. And now that Fournette has had a ton of time in that offense, why would he be less? Why would he have less yards than Ronald Jones? I mean, did anybody see anything where Jones is going to take first and second down carries? I don't get that. I'd like to do a head-to-head. I'd like to do a head-to-head. You know, give me the 10 yards for Leonard Fournette. Go call a book and ask him to do a head-to-head for you, because Fournette should be the one getting more yards here, right?
Yeah, going to be very interesting, because both players dominated in the Super Bowl, and it was Fournette that did rush for 89 yards on the ground, led the Tampa Bay Bucs to the Super Bowl last year, did have that big touchdown as well. When we come back, we'll be breaking down Buffalo and Pittsburgh. Joe Lisi and Holden Kushner right here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Holden Kushner.
Continuing the breakdowns of all the NFL Week 1 action, just talked about Dallas and Tampa Bay. Going to turn our attention to that battle in Buffalo. Last year, Buffalo took the house, took it to the Ben Roethlisberger and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Pittsburgh went on the road. They scored first. They never looked back, though. Buffalo 26-15, dominant home win over the Steelers in this matchup. They opened as a 7-point favorite. It's down right now to 6.5 on FanDuel, -110 either way. When you look at Pittsburgh right now, T.J. Watt is expected at practice. Per Mike Tomlin, he says he expects him to be locked, ready, and loaded for that Week 1 battle. But I got to be honest with you. I think this is one game right here where I think Buffalo starts fast with Josh Allen. I think they take it to the Pittsburgh defense. I'm not sold in the Steelers being this dominant top 10 defense. I think it's a blowout. Double-digit win by the Buffalo Bills at home. They make a statement. They are the team team to beat in the AFC this year, not Patrick Mahomes and Kansas City.
All right, so for those of you listening right now, just know that the man that predicted a blowout in this game also thinks KJ Hamler is Tyreek Hill. So everybody settle down.
Yes.
Don't worry about Lisey.
I said he's a poor man's Tyreek Hill.
No. You said
KJ Hamler steps up and has a dynamic year. What are we going to do? We're going to
What is a blowout? Two touchdowns? Four. Here's the deal. Last year,
if you're laying six, anything over, I'd say 6.5, you'd say 14 points or more.
14 points. Okay. So we go back to last year. People forget that the Steelers were like unbeaten to start the. What were they? 9-0 or something? Some ridiculous.
Who'd they play?
Fine. And then they played the Bills, and the Bills sent him into a spiral. And noodle arm Ben Roethlisberger couldn't pick up his arm, and they're going to Duck Hodges and all these other stiffs. So the offense of the Steelers, to me, is a big question mark. We know what the Bills are going to bring. They got a nice new pass rush. They picked up two defensive ends in the draft. They've got star Lotulelele. They've got Jerry Hughes and Ed Oliver. All these guys. Their pass rush is going to be terrific. So how is Pittsburgh going to counter this? They've got the new offensive coordinator, Matt Canada, but at least Canada was there last year, so he's the quarterback's coach, and he knows what he's doing. He knows the strengths and weaknesses of Roethlisberger. To me, the key to this game, can the Steelers run the ball with Najee Harris? We know he can get it done in the passing game. And if you think that Najee Harris is going to get stuffed for 2.5 yards per carry, then you're Dunsky. Then you absolutely back the Bills in this one. I'm not here to say that I'm jumping off the Steelers' boat just yet. You and I have different thoughts on them defensively. Scoring defense, they were good last year. They did give up a ton of yards. So for me, it's going to be Najee Harris and how effective he can be, or how effective the Steelers can get him. And on the other side, it's going to be the pass rush for the Bills. Love how they kind of remade it. They get pressure on Noodle Arm over there, and they can't run the ball. Then your blowout scenario is going to happen.
Well, here's what I look at in terms of this matchup. Nothing against Najee Harris, one of the most dominant college running backs in terms of his days in Tuscaloosa. This is not against or an anti-Najee Harris play for week one. It's just I'm not sold on the Pittsburgh offensive line in terms of building continuity, giving Ben Roethlisberger time and protecting him in this matchup. And I love that front seven. I love what they did in terms of the draft. Boogie Basham from Wake Forest. They get Rousseau, the big play defense. Defensive end that was a dominant pass rusher over Jalen Phillips during his days in Miami. So he's a wide body kid. He's got a huge wingspan. They're going to rotate defensive tackles and linemen in at all times. I think this is one of the most disciplined defenses in terms of the NFL. I love what Sean McDermott has done in terms of coaching up this talent. And he is a disciplined game planner. He always has his team in a position to win ball games. He has them prepared. They very rarely get blown out. And on top of that, I'm not buying into Ben Roethlisberger being 100%. I'm just not. I know he looked good in terms of the preseason. I need to see it before I back it up. If they go on the road and they get this victory or they lose a very close ball game, maybe I'll reassess. But until I see it, I'm buying into the more physical offense and defensive lines. And on top of Matt Canada, it's amazing that Matt Canada actually has 2 years in Pittsburgh back-to-back. Because he went from Pittsburgh, the offensive coordinator under Pat Narduzzi. He then went to Maryland. He was the interim head coach when DJ Durkin got fired. Then he goes to LSU. I mean, he bounced around more times than I can't even imagine how many times he's the one-hit wonder. You give him a one-year contract, he bolts. So, I mean, at the end of the day, is this offense going to have consistency for Pittsburgh? They did not show that at the end of the year, and they were exposed. So this is the best team to me entering the season in the AFC, the Buffalo Bills. I still say it. It's not the Kansas City Chiefs.
So, a couple things for you. First of all, did you unload all your accounts and just bet on the Browns since you hate the Ravens and the Steelers this year? Yes or no? Because it sounds to me like you love Browns.
I am a buyer of the Browns.
Okay.
Anything could happen. It's Cleveland. But where they are right now and what Stefanski did in terms of instilling a winning mentality in that team, they believe they can go up with the best teams in the AFC. And they did that. They showed that from a defensive perspective in the playoff loss to Kansas City last year.
Yeah, I know. But as far as the Bills go, they have to be the number one challenger. I think the Browns will be there. I still think the Ravens will be there. I'm not worried about the Steelers as much. But there's some concern coming out of Kansas City right now. The offensive line still doesn't look terrific. I think people are more concerned about their defense, where I'm kind of, hey, if their bend don't break, they're going to be fine. But their offensive line, still some questions there. Can they run the football consistently, too? We all love Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but can he run the football consistently? So there's two things offensively. Now, maybe I'm nitpicking, because they still got Tyreek Hill and they still got Travis Kelce. But it didn't seem like this offense was in lockstep for most of the year. Didn't it seem like, and I don't know if you remember this, but I remember watching them saying it's almost like they're going through the motions.
They were.
And that has to improve this year. And if it does, then the Chiefs are going to blow everybody away. If they go back to last year saying, oh, we're so good, we can just go with this because we're talented and we're more talented than everybody else, we got Pat Mahomes, then no. They cannot go through that again. They're not that great. So when it comes down to it, I don't mind your Buffalo call. I don't mind your Buffalo call at all.
Yeah, and think of this. I mean, their win total on FanDuel is 11, minus 120 to the over. I would be shocked if they don't get there. I would. If this team is 10-7, it would be a major disappointment to that coaching staff, for the players that you have there, for the schedule that lines up. I think they're the only team, Holden, that has the potential in the AFC to be a 13 or a 14 win team this year. The only team.
The Chiefs don't have the potential to win 13 or 14. Are you out of your mind?
I don't think so. I got to be honest with you. Their win total is 12.5 because I just think they're one injury away. I'm not sold on that defense. I'll tell you that right now. I am not sold on that defense, and I agree with you in terms of walking through the motions. Too many times last year, they just allowed teams to get in and play with them for four quarters. Look at the game in Miami. You blow out the first three quarters. You allow Miami to come back, almost be in potential striking distance. Didn't cover that matchup. Atlanta, that was a 3-point game for much of the way. You lose to the Raiders once at home, almost get pushed to the limit on the road in Las Vegas. They almost lost that game if it wasn't for Mahomes hitting Kelce in the end zone with a minute left.
I got an issue thinking that this team is not still the best on paper in the AFC. And I don't expect them to go through the motions like they did last year. And fine, we can agree that their defense is not it's nothing special. What were they, 22nd in DVOA last year? But they added some players. They've got young guys. They've got Snead and Willie Gay. And Chris Jones is still there. So they have some pieces defensively. That's not what concerns me. Ben, don't break there. The concern I have, can we keep Mahomes healthy? Because he always seems, last year he got beaten up. And once he got beaten up and he wasn't close to 100%, it hurt. And let me address this other thing. They're one injury away. Every team's one injury away. Every single team is one injury away.
But when you're the top dog, right, you don't expect that injury. Right. That's the thing is that look at the Colts. Right. They were expected to challenge for the division. They get Quentin Nelson. They get Wentz banged up. OK, it's like they're in disarray. When you're the Kansas City Chiefs, it's like, OK, yeah, Patrick Mahomes, we're going to be there. They just expect to be there. Right. But if Kelce goes down or Hill goes down, then what? Who steps up? Is it going to be Mecole Hardman? Are we really sold on Clyde Edwards-Helaire? Not in terms of his ability, but the rushing attack did falter in the second half of the season, and I think that's a main reason why they did not win the Super Bowl last year. The rushing attack was not consistent. They tried to get it going with Le'Veon Bell, Darrell Williams. The two-headed monster did not work out. That offensive line was a major concern. Now they addressed that, but if the rushing attack isn't there and they do sustain an injury like to Hill or Kelsey, can they sustain that for the course of 16 games, 17 games?
The Hill thing, I think, can get by. They've gotten by with an injured Tyreek Hill. The Kelsey thing is the one that would kill him. If Kelsey's out there, didn't he lead the NFL in receiving yards last year? He's a wide receiver.
He's had a hamstring already, right, in the preseason?
All right, listen, I can't sit here and predict the Travis Kelsey injury, but I'll say this. He's the key. Like, him or Mahomes go down, that team is going to be struggling offensively. But I still think they're just too damn good.
I'm taking Buffalo as one of my week one best bets. We'll see what Holden thinks. When we come back, Carolina and New York.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Holden Kushner.
Ripping through the week one action, just talked about the Buffalo Bills and Pittsburgh Steelers matchup. I'm all in on the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen. I'm laying the 6.5 minus 110 on FanDuel. Before we turn to the Jets and Carolina, Holden, you're taking the points, and do you like the Steelers on the money line at plus 235?
No. I don't think they win the game straight up. I'm just saying they keep this game competitive because I'm not as down on their defense.
You think they lose a 3-4 point game in there, 24-20 in that area?
Don't you try and sucker me into committing to a bet here. You're not going to do it, Lisi. I know what you're trying to do here. I got to come back here, yes, tomorrow and work with you too. So don't start suckering me into bets. No, I'm not taking the money line. There's got to be better bets than that. I mean, why would I not want to focus on the Jaguars and the Texans? I know we're going to get to that too because I asked to do that. But no, I'm not betting plus 235 in the Steelers, not against
all right.
the Bills.
I think it's a lower scoring game. I think Buffalo contains that offense. We'll see how it plays out. We're going to break that down later in the week. But let's turn our attention to Matt Rhule in Carolina. This line opened up at 4.5. It's up to 5 now on FanDuel. Zach Wilson looked very good in the preseason. He goes on the road making his first career NFL start. Corey Davis, that elite wide receiver for the New York Jets. Jamison Crowder might be there, might not be there. We got to see. He's a game-time decision as of today heading into this matchup. Under and over set at 45 minus 112. You give Matt Rhule all offseason to prepare for a rookie. This is my sleeper team in the NFC. Their win total was 7.5. I think they go well above that. I think they're a potential dark horse for a wild card. You give me Sam Darnold starting at the quarterback position. Christian McCaffrey, he understands the personnel Sam Darnold does for the New York Jets. Blowout special for Matt Rhule and the crew. They abuse Zach Wilson in this week one matchup. Abuse him. Derek Brown is going to be in his face all day long.
Okay, so let's start with the Carolina side, okay? Can you talk to me a little bit more about why you're down with the Panthers defense after what we saw last year? I need to know this so I can form an argument and put you in your place.
Sure, no problem. First of all, this is exactly the recipe of what Matt Rhule did when he took over the Baylor program. First year, 1-11, second year, 7-6, third year, 11-2. They go to the Big 12 championship, challenge Jalen Hurts in Oklahoma. He weeded out the type of talent that fit his scheme offensively and defensively. He gets Derek Brown, fifth overall pick, a big body from Auburn. He's going to be much better in year number two. You couple that with J.C. Horn, one of the most athletic cornerbacks. He's a defensive-minded coach. I know Zach Wilson has looked fantastic in the preseason, but as we know, preseason is different than NFL week number one. Game speed changes it up. Intensity, you give me that defensive-minded coach in Matt Rhule. I think one of the best NFL coaches, young head coaches, he has this team ready, and they step up, and this team's over their win total. So I think it's all about the defensive game plan going up against a rookie quarterback in Zach Wilson, which showed his strengths and weaknesses in the preseason.
Well, I'll tell you what I like. I'll tell you what I do like about this defense. Jeremy Chinn, great draft pick. Expect him to really boost up the secondary this year to take another step. And we know that Bouye and Hassan Reddick are there too. So I will say this. I know I was going to rip you, but I'm not going to. And then did you mention Brian Burns? What do you have?
Like, no, I didn't mention Brian Burns. He's up there to lead the league.
I know.
His value, we talked about it. He's like a 14 to 15 to one shot on FanDuel to lead the league in sacks this year.
So here's the deal. Their defense, I thought, was up and coming last year. Their defense is in all likelihood going to be even better this year. And I don't hate the call with them taking a big leap. My issue, though, is with Darnold. I loved Sam Darnold at USC. I loved Sam Darnold going to the Jets. I do need to see if Adam Gase ruined him or not, if he's just a reclamation project that can't be helped. I'm seriously concerned about him. He's got better weapons. He's got better coaching. And believe it or not, the Panthers, a more stable organization. So if we look at this game in its own right, it's the Darnold revenge game. If you go down Narrative Street, you want to bet that. It's a Carolina defense that has had all offseason to go up against a rookie in Wilson, who, by the way, Tony Romo called a star. He thinks he's ready to take a big step right now. Right now in the NFL. So I'll bounce this off of you. The Jets defense against the Carolina offense. How does that play out?
Well, I think Sam Darnold takes a huge step with Joe Brady. I really do. I mean, he has playmakers. DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson. I mean, Terrace Marshall stepped up now. You show his ability in the slot. You have, as long as Christian McCaffrey's healthy, you have an offense that is going to be balanced. The Jets really have to pick and choose who they take away in this matchup. Are you going to take away DJ Moore? That leaves Christian McCaffrey open, possibly in the short to intermediate passing game. What about Terrace Marshall? Who's going to cover him in the slot? There is the potential for Sam Darnold to have a breakout year, and Joe Brady's going to force the pressure on that secondary in New York. They're going to stress them, especially if they get up early. I think that's the critical matchup going up against a rookie quarterback. You don't want to fall behind. You don't want to allow him to settle in. You want to score fast, put the pressure on Wilson to say, hey, guess what, kid? Match us score for score, and let's see if you can do it.
Yeah, I think there's going to be some issues with the defense of the Jets in this game. And ultimately, what it's going to come down to is the production of Christian McCaffrey. He can just eat this team alive. We know they've put some really good wide receiver talent around Sam Darnold. I'm looking forward to Terrace Marshall, too. I can't wait. I think the big issue here for the Jets is going to be able how to figure out how to stop Christian McCaffrey, run game, passing game, and all the options that Darnold has. So even if Darnold's having a bad game, even if it takes Darnold a while to settle into this new team, he's got the ultimate chess piece playing behind him. That's instant offense in Christian McCaffrey. So to me, that's where the massive advantage is going to be shown, the Carolina offense and the game plan against the Jets defense. I don't care that Salah's there. I think that's a massive issue for the Jets.
Yeah, we'll see how that plays out. This is one of my best bets, week number one, Carolina -5, -115 on FanDuel. So shop around if you want to take the Jets. They're -104 right now heading into the weekend. Let's turn about our attention to the matchup in Houston. Tyrod Taylor named the starting quarterback by Cully and the crew. Jacksonville, Urban Meyer was a 3-point favorite. It's now down to 2.5, -114 on FanDuel. Total set in around 44 4.5. Juice to the over at minus 114, but all Urban does, Holden, is he wins football games. That's all he does. He coaches them up, baby. I love Jacksonville. I'm in on all the favorites. It's scaring me. I like Dallas and three straight favorites, but I think Jacksonville gets it done over the Texans this Sunday.
Now, many of you are saying, why would these guys talk about this crap game? It's my fault. I have just been drawn to it since the schedule came out.
Out of all the games, this is the one that really caught Holden's eye, the Texans in Houston.
No, this is the most perplexing one because on one side, you've got one of the most dysfunctional organizations out in all of sports and the Jaguars, and they're actually favored on the road against the most dysfunctional team. Like, how do I even handicap this thing? First of all, Lawrence loses his guy, Travis Etienne. On the other side, though, they don't have a home run hitter in the backfield. They still got Robinson and Hyde. But offensively, he's got some pieces, man. At least in week one, we know Marvin Jones is going to be healthy. Right? And then you throw Chark, and I think they can use LaVisca Chenault. I actually think this is one of the teams that can actually use a lot of the college college plays, and it translates into the NFL. The question is defensively. And neither one of these teams has a pass rush. Neither one of these teams can get to the quarterback. But on one side, we got a rookie quarterback with a bad offensive line. And then we got Tyrod Taylor, who can't throw the football with a bad offensive line. Defensively, okay, maybe the Jaguars do get a little bit of pressure. That's the one thing that I see as a massive advantage, okay? I think that is where the advantage is with the Jaguars. How many points can the Jags put up? I don't know. But I do have a really solid feeling that the Texans are not going to be able to put up many points in this game. So then I've got to ask myself, do I want to look at a total? Do I want to look at a team total? Do I want to look at a side? I really just have, in principle, out of principle, backing the Jaguars on the road at -2.5. How do you do that, Lisi? How do you convince yourself to do that? So I look at the 44.5 total now. Which way do I want to go with that? Can the Jaguars score 24 points in week one? And do the Texans get to 22? I think the Texans under 22 is the play here because of the Jaguars pass rush, the bad options that the Texans have offensively at quarterback and around him. The next thing is, do I like the Jaguars to score 23 or more? I'm kind of unsettled on the Jags offense, but the more I look at this under 22, the more I like it. Under 22 for the Texans.
All right, you see, now you got me intrigued on the total at 44.5 because you mentioned it. These defenses are horrible, right? Jacksonville won their week one matchup last year. They lost 15 straight after that. They lost those 15 straight games. I believe it was like right in the area of about like 14 points per game almost. They got abused in the second half of the season. So for me, I think it all comes down to Urban Meyer. He's got a significant coaching advantage over Cully. They've looked great in the preseason. They're buying in Houston. But now this is the real deal. This is where Urban Meyer's experience, this is why you got him in Jacksonville, to give you and deliver W's. You have Trevor Lawrence, a decorated rookie quarterback. He's going to step up. We mentioned the Houston's defense was absolute garbage, right? I think Houston right now is the worst team in the NFL. I don't even know if they sniffed two wins this year. They're that bad, especially with the negativity surrounding Deshaun Watson. I'm in on the -2.5. You got me intrigued on the total, though. 44.5, I might jump on it. If they put a total up for Trevor Lawrence, which they haven't done yet, I think I might be over that as well.
Yeah, my big thing is I just don't think the Texans can score. So let's say they get 17. Now we're counting on the Jaguars to get 28 to go over on that game. So maybe the under for the game is the way to play too. I definitely feel like the Texans are not getting to 22. I don't like that at all. If I'm backing the over there, that's just silly. The question is the Jaguars, my friend. And I still got a couple of days to work on this, but it is a game I've just been drawn to. And this is the biggest quarterback prospect we've had since the Andrew Luck RG3 thing. How many years ago was that? Almost a decade ago now?
Yeah.
And now you get Trevor Lawrence. We've been watching this kid as a pro prospect since a freshman in college. So does he come out and just tear it up as a rookie in his first game? This is the ultimate matchup for him. The only thing he's missing is facing the Texans at home. There will be no better defense to attack for Trevor Lawrence this year than the one he's playing Sunday.
I'll take it a step further. I think this resembles the 2019 National Championship game where he dominated Alabama. He throws for 300-plus, and Jacksonville gets a victory. When we come back, Arizona and Tennessee.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Holden Kushner.
Wrapping up today's show, we went through all the week one matchups. We got through about four. I picked three favorites and one underdog. Only underdog I picked was actually Dallas Thursday night, plus the 8 points. You got to shop around on FanDuel as 7.5. Most books right now have 8, but I'll tell you what, Holden, an underdog I do like is in the next matchup. Tennessee, 3-point favorites at home on FanDuel over the Arizona Cardinals. If you want to take the Cardinals, you take the 3. They're going to juice it to that. Minus 118, I don't like that. I think Arizona wins the game outright. Give me the plus 128. Arizona strikes the upset over Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry.
I don't understand the thought process behind that. I don't like backing the Cardinals on the road. I love that Derrick Henry, he gets off to a slow start during the season, but I think this is a situation where he could just run it right down their throats. Tennessee's debuting Julio Jones. They're trying to get their defense back to where it was a couple of years ago. I am on the opposite side of you here. I will not back minus 152, but -3 at minus 102, basically even money on FanDuel. You and I, once again, on opposite sides.
Well, I'll tell you what, this total moved a little bit. When it opened about a month and a half ago, it was right there about 51, 51 and a half. Now some money coming in on the over, 52 and a half, one of the highest totals on the board, minus 106. So it's really juiced to the under at minus 114 on FanDuel. I still like it. I think this is going to be one of the highest scoring games of the afternoon. I'm going over the 52 and a half in Tennessee.
Over 52 and a half in Tennessee. Well, I do think that the Cardinals are just going to have to jack it up offensively in order to win this game. But I think Tennessee can do the same thing. And they actually have as good, if not better, weapons around Tannehill. The difference is at quarterback, where Murray is just more dynamic. Ultimately, I like the under the Titans, Lisi.
Ooh, that's got to be one that we got to keep our eye on. So we're going to be here all week breaking down all the week one games from Holden Kushner. I'm Joe Lisi. Have a great day, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.